I don't know what kind of situation you're facing today, but let me just say this to you. You should never let an impossible situation intimidate you. Let it motivate you. Let that impossible situation motivate you to pray more, to believe more, to trust more, to expect more from God, to depend on God. You see, today's impossibility is tomorrow's miracle. You know, you recall the story that when the disciples were in the boat during a terrible storm and they woke up, Jesus, because he was sleeping in the boat, and in the middle of the storm, they asked one of the most profound questions in human existence. Lord, don't you care? Don't you care that we're dying? Don't you care that we're perishing? Don't you care that we're in this storm? You probably felt that question. I certainly have. Does God care about my problems? Does God care about my hurts? Does God care about what I'm going through right now? The stress that I'm feeling right this second? The worry, the fear, the anxiety that I'm feeling? Does God even care about that? The answer is yes. And I want you to join me today for Daily Hope as we discover how God meets our deepest needs.
Today on Daily Hope with Rick Warren, we continue in a series called How God Meets Your Deepest Needs. This is part two of a message called When the Odds Are Against You. It's taken from 2 Chronicles. And now, here's Pastor Rick.
You see, when I come to Christ and say, I'm yours, he assumes responsibility for my needs. And the battle's not mine anymore. It's his. But see, we don't get this. We try to fight God's battles all the time. And we go out and we work real hard, and we try real hard, and we give it our best shot, and inevitably we fail. And we're disappointed in ourselves. And we come back with our heads bowed and our eyes droopy and our tail between our legs, and we walk into God and say, oh God, I'm so sorry. I've really let you down. I know that I tried hard and I tried to do this and I've made a mess of it and I blew it and I have really let you down. I'm sorry, God. And God says, wait just a minute. Let me clarify this. You didn't let me down because you aren't holding me up. You ever thought about that? You don't let God down because you don't hold him up. God holds you up. You don't hold him up. I don't know how to say it any clearer than this. You cannot disappoint God. Why? Because he already knows everything. He knows every stupid, sinful, dumb thing you've ever done. He also knows every stupid, sinful thing you're going to do already. So it's not going to be a big surprise to him when you end up doing it. Like, wow, how did I miss that one? Golly, I should have thought of that when I created him. Well, guess what? He did. You cannot disappoint God. This is what grace is all about. You don't earn God's pleasure, God's approval. It is a free gift when you trust in his son, Christ. And you don't hold God up, he holds you up. And you don't help God, he helps you. It's not your battle. Today after the fifth service, I got to go up to LAX and get on a 747 and fly to Atlanta, because I'm speaking in Atlanta tomorrow. Now, how about when this 747 starts taxiing down the runway in a few hours, and as it begins to go, I start doing this. And as it goes faster and faster, I start going. And then, you know, I try to get 1 foot off the ground, and then I both feet off the ground, and I'm flapping along, and all of a sudden, the flight attendant comes back and says, sir, what are you doing? I'm helping it get off the ground. Sir, you don't have to do that. Oh, yes, I do. I am committed. I'm committed to making this thing work. Sir, you don't have to do this. Just relax. Trust the force. No, I can't trust. I got to try. I got to help this pilot get this thing off the ground. And inevitably, the plane takes off. But my hands are getting more and more tired. And pretty soon, my arms just collapse because I can't do it anymore. And I just let go. And guess what? The plane keeps going. I needed to stop trying and just start trusting. Now, God brought some of you here this morning so he could say this to you. I hope you're listening. You can stop flapping your arms. Get it? Good. I mean, some of you, your Christian life is just like this. You know, and you know, we don't need air conditioning. You're making all the airwaves, you know, just. I have seen some single adults, men and women, who were so eager to get married, they pop from single scene to single scene, and they're flapping as hard as they can. And it looks silly. They're making a fool of themselves. I gotta get married somehow. The battle is not yours, but God's. I gotta make this business deal work. I gotta raise perfect kids. Name your flap. Okay. Now, some of you have been flapping for a long time. And you honestly, if the truth were known, you came here this morning going, God, I am so tired. I can't do this. It is too hard. It is too much. It requires too much emotional and physical and spiritual energy. I cannot keep up. And so, God, I quit. And God says, it's about time. Congratulations. Now I can get something done in your life. Because as long as you're trying to help out God, you're trying to control things. And you can't help out God. He helps you out. And the moment you relax and begin to trust, things can start happening. God says, fantastic, great, congratulations, you give up, good. I've been waiting for this for years. Now you're going to start letting me take over? Now this is a very unusual battle. Notice verse 17. He says, you're not going to need to fight in this battle. What kind of battle is that? He says, stand strong in your places and you will see the Lord save you. By the way, this verse, 2 Chronicles 20:17, is the middle verse of the Old Testament for those of you who are trivia buffs. Now, I know some of you, that's the only thing you're going to get in this message. You're going to write in your Bible the middle verse of the Old Testament. That's not what's important. What's important is the truth of it. And the truth of it is this. It's God's problem. Let him solve it. You don't have to fight. Relax. Trust him to work it out. So many of you are walking around with this Atlas complex that you've got the whole world on your shoulder. She's got the whole world, you know, in her hands. I want to invite you this morning to resign as general manager of the universe. Because the world isn't going to fall apart if you do. Oh, yes, it will. If I let go of all the strings, it'll just fall apart. No, it won't. It will not. Just trust me on this one. It's all going to fall apart. Let God be God. He is God and you are not. You need to relax in faith. You know, twice in this story, verse 15, verse 17, God says, don't be afraid or discouraged. Don't be afraid or discouraged. Why? Because when we face overwhelming odds and responsibilities, we are afraid and we are discouraged. But he says, don't do it. Why? Number one, it's God's battle. Number two, more importantly, God has never lost a battle. Never, ever. God has never lost a battle in the history of God. So you don't have to worry. The outcome is inevitable. Victory is assured. The last chapter has already been written. And if I know going into the battle that God's going to fight it, that it's his battle, then I know he's not going to lose it. Guess what? I know I'm already a winner. So I can relax.
That's Pastor Rick Warren with just a portion of today's message called When the Odds Are Against You. It's from the series called How God Meets Your Deepest Needs. Rick's going to be right back, so please stay tuned. You know, Pastor Rick has served the church locally, nationally, and internationally for more than 30 years. He's the author of many books, including The Purpose-Driven Life. And if you've been helped at all through any of Rick's ministries or books, he would love to hear your story. You can connect with us at the Daily Hope website at rickwarren.org or just call us 1-800-600-5004. That's rickwarren.org or call us 1-800-600-5004. He'd love to hear from you. And there's more Daily Hope with Rick in just a moment.
How do you cope with stress, failure, depression, worry? In his book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions, Rick Warren goes to the Bible for answers to 12 of life's toughest challenges using the examples of different biblical characters that faced the same issues. Each of these studies offers simple ways to apply God's truth to your personal life, family, and work. To get your copy of the book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions, for a gift of any amount in support of this ministry, go to rickwarren.org.
Once again, here's Rick.
Some of you around Saddleback in the early years know that for 13 years, this church was kind of like the people of Israel. We wandered around the desert from building to building to building, trying to get a permanent piece of land on which we could build a site. And we had one struggle after another, and one dead end after another, and one barrier after another, and we even got a piece of land out in the canyon one time, 113 acres, bought it, and then the county wanted 104 acres of it back for open space. Wanted us to just give it to them, deed it to them, and let us build on about 9. And we went through battle after battle, and many times people would come and say, Rick, isn't this discouraging you? And I have to admit to you from the bottom of my heart, I did get tired sometimes, but I never did get discouraged. I mean, I never lost hope. I always knew that it was inevitable that we were going to get a piece of land for this church. Because I knew that if this was not my church, it's God's church. And if God were bringing all the people here, it was His battle, not mine. And if He kept bringing all these thousands and thousands of more people each year to Saddleback, He obviously had a place that He wanted them to park. And the truth is, when Kay and I started this church, this piece of property was not even on the map. It was not zoned. There was no roads here. There was no Portola Parkway. There was no major freeway. There was no bridge going over to Marguerite. El Toro Road was not a 6 or 8 lane road. It was a little two lane country road, which, by the way, the original road is now on our property. And this place had not even been zoned. Nobody even knew about it. But 1,000 years before any of us were born, God knew who He wanted to save in the Saddleback Valley, and He knew He was going to plant this church here, and He planned, before any of us knew it, the place it was going to end up. The battle is not ours. It's God's. And so you don't get discouraged because you know He's in charge. What does God want you to do if He doesn't want you to fight in the battle? What are you supposed to do when you're facing an overwhelming situation? Well, notice two words. You won't need to fight in this battle, just stand strong. Circle that. Stand strong. What does it mean to stand strong? It's a mental attitude. It's an attitude of quiet confidence. It means, I'm not going to get ahead of God, but I'm not backing up either. I'm going to just stay put and watch God work. I am going to stand strong. I'm not going to turn tail and run. Now, let me tell you one of the most important truths you have to learn in life. It is never God's will for you to run from a difficult situation. It is never God's will for you to run from a difficult situation. Because if you do, He's going to bring it up again. Because He wants you to learn that He is sufficient in every situation. And if you don't learn it here, He'll just provide the opportunity again. Now, in today's society, there are plenty of ways to run. Choose your favorite escape. Choose your poison. Choose your vice. There are lots of ways to escape from reality and responsibility today. But God says, they're all out of my will if you're using them to run. I want you to stand strong in quiet confidence and watch me do a miracle. What do I stand firm on? What am I supposed to stand firm on? The Bible tells us in verse 20, it says this. Have faith in the Lord your God and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets and you will be successful. You want to be successful? There it is. You stand on two things, the character of God and the word of God. Have faith in the Lord. That's the character of God. We know who he is. We know what he's done. And have faith in what his prophets have said. That's the word of God, the 7,000 promises. And you stand on those two things. No problem, no conflict, and no loss can devastate you. So when you're facing an overwhelming battle and the odds are against you, these are the things you need to do. And then the last one is to thank God in advance. In advance, that's the key. You turn to God first. You talk to God about the situation. You tell God how you feel. You trust God to help you. And then you thank God in advance. Now, notice in verse 21. The king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him. And this is what they sang. Give thanks to the Lord, for his faithful love endures forever. Now, this is a very unusual way to organize an army. Jehoshaphat's battle plan is to put a choir before the infantry. Patton would have fainted. I mean, Jehoshaphat says, hey guys, here's my idea. Any of you sing? And he's looking down, any of you sing? And he picks these guys out and he says, now we're going to form a little choir here. And you're going to go out. Now picture this. Over here on this mountain are the three enemy armies amassed to go battle against Israel. Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. Three nations of armies. Then here's the valley where they're going to do battle. And over here are the lowly Israelites. And Jehoshaphat says, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take some of you who sing, we're going to make a choir out of you, and we're going to put you in front of the army as you march into battle. And they're out there singing, thanks to God, praise God, we're going to have victory. Just imagine Muchow leading them. Woo! You know, and they're out there and they're bouncing around singing. And the enemy's going, what is going on? And the Israeli army is certainly going, yeah, what is going on? And of course, the choir is saying, we would like to know what's going on. There's a very important truth here. There's a symbolism in this. They were thanking God in advance for the victory. Before it even happened, they were thanking God in advance. Praise, thanksgiving, is verbalized faith. Now, if you thank God after the fact, that's gratitude. If you thank God before it happens, that's faith. And they said, give thanks, we thank God for the victory. And notice what happened. Look at the effect of praise, verse 22. At the moment they began to sing and to praise, at that moment, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to begin fighting among themselves. And they destroyed each other. This is wild. There is power in thanking. There is power in praising. There is power in expecting. And God just confused the enemy and they started fighting each other and killing themselves. And they turned on each other and destroyed themselves while the Israelites looked on. They were thanking God in advance, and that's powerful. Here's the question. You know that insurmountable problem in your life? The one that the odds are stacked against you? When are you going to start thanking God for it? Oh, after it's all solved, that's gratitude. How about now? How about now? But while you're in the problem, while you see it coming at you, thanking God now, that is faith. Thanking God in advance. Listen to the results. The enemy destroyed themselves, and after the battle was over in verse 23 or 25, it says, so Jehoshaphat and his men went off to carry off the plunder. In other words, the spoils of the war after the battle was over. And they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing and articles of value, much more than they could carry away. There were so many spoils of war, they couldn't carry it away. God wants to bless your life so much, more than you can even handle. There was so much plunder that it took them 3 days to collect it. This is what you call abundance. And on the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Baraka, where they praised the Lord. And this is why it's called the valley of Baraka to this day. Baraka is the Hebrew word for praise, and that's where God wants you to live, in the valley of blessing. How do you get there? Thanking God in advance. Now, when Christians act the way they ought to act, the world takes notice. Look at the last verse. When the surrounding kingdoms heard that the Lord himself had fought against the enemies of Israel, the fear of God came over them. Well, I guess so. So Jehoshaphat's kingdom was at peace, for God had given him rest on every side. Wouldn't you like that to be true in your life?
That's Rick Warren with Daily Hope. In a moment, Rick will be back with a closing thought, but right now I want to tell you about the Daily Hope website at rickwarren.org. When you log on there, you can get today's entire message, you can get message notes, social media links, sign up for Rick's Daily Hope devotional. So log on now, rickwarren.org. And we don't have to tell you that life can be filled with tough situations, stress, crisis, discouragement, depression, failure. But the Bible offers time-tested answers to life's difficult questions, taking you inside the lives of biblical characters like Moses and Paul, even Jesus himself. Pastor Rick has written a book called God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions. In this book, he shares their stories and gives you concrete, easy-to-understand insights that you can put to work immediately in your own life. Now, today, we want to send you this special hardback book to thank you for your gift of any amount to support this Daily Hope broadcast. God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions really gives you keys to a better life. Change, well, it may not come overnight, but with patience and prayer, you're going to see a difference. And in that process, you'll be encouraged that God can and will help you attain purpose and significance for which you were created. So please give us a call to request your copy of God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions, 1-800-600-5004. That number again, 800-600-5004. And now here's Rick with a closing thought.
What are you supposed to do when you're facing an overwhelming situation? Two words, stand strong. Stand strong. What does it mean to stand strong? Well, it's a mental attitude. It's not a physical thing you do. It's a mental attitude. It's an attitude of quiet confidence. It's saying, I'm not going to get ahead of God, but I'm not backing up either. It's saying, I'm going to stay put and I'm going to watch God work. I'm going to watch his salvation in action. I'm going to stand strong and I'm not going to turn tail and run. One of the most important truths you have to learn in life is that it is never God's will for you to run from a difficult situation. I'm going to say that one again. It is never God's will for you to run from a difficult situation. Never, never, never. If you do, he's going to bring it up again because he wants you to learn that he's sufficient in every situation. And if you don't learn it here, he's going to just have to provide another opportunity down the road. Now, in today's world, in our culture, in our society, there are plenty of ways to run from difficulty. Let me ask you, what's your favorite escape? I mean, choose your pleasure, choose your vice. When the odds seem overwhelming and you feel stressed out, what do you do to escape from reality and responsibility? God says you're out of his will if you're using escapes to walk away from the things God wants you to trust him for. God says, I want you to stand there. I want you to stand still. I want you to stand strong in quiet confidence and watch me do a miracle. You may say, well, what do I stand on? Well, you stand on the Word of God. You stand on the character of God. You stand on the promises of God. The Bible says, have faith in the Lord your God and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets and you will be successful. What's his prophets? It's the Word. It's the Bible. It's what the prophets have all written down. So you stand on these two things, the character of God and the Word of God. You have faith in his character. We know who he is. We know what he's done. And have faith in his Word, where you will find over 7,000 promises of God. Why don't you pick up a Bible today and look up some of those promises and then stand strong. I'm Rick, And I hope you'll continue to join me as we look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and listeners like you.